that He gives us. And I truly believe that God is going to do that when we get an understanding of what a commanded blessing is. And so, anyway, what I want to do tonight is, in just a few minutes, I want to open the floor up, and I want to give you an opportunity to share a testimony. And I'm going to tell you why I'm going to do that in just a second. Now, I've been preaching on Thursday nights on Don't Be Confused, and it's been a series where we've been talking about the level of confusion that is going on in this nation, and I'm going to veer from that tonight. I'll get back to that next Thursday. But Sunday I started a series on the commanded blessing of God and talked about out of Deuteronomy chapter 28 that God tells us in the Scripture there is a commanded blessing that we can have through the Word of God. And I really believe that if we pray that and begin to pray that as a church, I believe that those promises that are in Deuteronomy 28, which are not, they're not the written law, they're moral law. So not only were they true for those of the children of Israel in the Old Testament, they're also applicable for us today because they transcend into the New Testament principles that God has. And I believe there's a commanded blessing that God can bring upon churches. That's my prayer, is that God would allow us to release a transfer, a blessing on this church where we're blessed not for ourselves, but to bless to be a blessing. And I believe God can put such a blessing on our lives that wherever we go, we can be a blessing to those we come in contact with. I believe God can put such a blessing on your life that those who are connected to you will be blessed by being around you. And that blessing can come on you. And so when you go to work, you're not a curse to your job. You're a blessing to your job. When you go to the grocery store, you're not a complainer, but you're someone who's going to bless people. And that wherever you go, the blessing of God can follow you and be with you. And in that, God can allow you to bless a city, to bless a people, and to be a blessing in yourself. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 28, I've been praying this scripture. I've been asking God to teach me what a commanded blessing is. What is the commanded blessing of God? And I shared with you a little bit on Sunday, talking about the commanded blessing. We talked about the difference between ownership and stewardship. That God is the owner of it all. Thank God He owns it all, right? But through our relationship with God, He allows us to steward what He owns. As long as we recognize what belongs to Him is His. Now, they didn't put the tree in the garden to tempt Adam and Eve. It wasn't to tempt them because God does not tempt. But He put the tree in the garden so that Adam and Eve would recognize that though they have every access to everything in the garden, there are certain things that belong to God that they are not to touch. And just like in our lives, there are things that God allows us to have steward over and to have access to that God has given us through blessing. But we also have to recognize there are certain things that God has given us that belong to God. They have to continue to belong to God. And so we talked about blessing. We talked about in the relationship to tithe. Not just tithe, but recognizing what God owns and what He doesn't own. And so tonight what I want to do is, before I let a few of you testify and share a little bit, I want you to understand why I'm doing it. And I really believe that there is a commanded blessing that can come on our lives. The Scripture tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 28, and it says this. It says, "The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouse and in all in which you set your hand to do. And He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you." It didn't say land that you got on your own. It said what God has given you. What is your land? Well, your land is what God's given you to steward. Sometimes it's our family that God's given us to steward. And everything that it revolves around that area of which God has given us to steward. He said, "I will command a blessing to come upon you." And the word command there is an interesting word. It's more than just a word. It means order. It means to bring that which is in chaos to order. It's a command. In other words, there's no negotiation. It's when God says it, it shall be done. In creation, when God said, let there be light, light did not argue with God. Light showed up. Why? Because it was a command. When God speaks something in His word is non-negotiable. And a commanded blessing are those things that God speaks to our lives that God has commanded in our lives. They shall come to pass because God has spoken them. And so I talked a little bit about that you can have blessing in your life. You can have a blessing. You can be blessed. Now, there's times I've come to church and I've had an encounter with God that was a blessing. That is a thing or something, an encounter with God, a one-time encounter. That was a blessing. I could go and go someplace and somebody could do something for me. I'm blessed. Somebody blessed me. It's a one-time encounter. The gist behind this, a commanded blessing, is not a one-time encounter. It's a lifestyle. God can allow us to walk and live our lives in a place of commanded blessing, where wherever we go, whatever we do, the hand of God is with us. We don't leave Him at the door when we walk out of this building or leave Him at the door of our home. He is with us wherever we go. There's a commanded blessing that can follow our lives, but it has to come through our obedience to God. It just doesn't come. It comes when we walk in obedience. And we talked it on Sunday that obedience is recognizing ownership and stewardship, and talking a little bit about what God owns and what man owns. Because God said that God owns everything, and in Leviticus He said He owns it all, and because He allows us to steward it, He only requires a tenth from us. It's what He told them in Leviticus 23, that they could have access to everything except for the tenth. That belonged to God. The seed belonged to them. The land belonged to them except for a tenth. And that's all that God had required. And the reason we give the tenth is so that we recognize that God is owner. It's not that God wants to take from us or keep us. He's trying to get blessing to you. And so by giving God a tenth portion, what we've done is we've recognized that God has ownership over our life. When you tithe, you're recognizing that God has ownership. You get the steward, the 90%. But God is recognizing, you're recognizing that God has ownership. And so it's a powerful thing. It's the foundation of understanding the ownership of God. But I want to read a passage of Scripture to you in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 or chapter 3. And I want to do this real quickly because I want to give you time, a few minutes, to share testimony. But to do that, I got to lay this for you and share this passage of Scripture with you, so that there's an understanding of what it means, blessing. You know, it's enough of a struggle in our lives when we pass through life to realize and try to find out and knowing what we have been placed here to do, finding our purpose in God. All of us struggle to find and want to be in the perfect will of God for our lives. All of us want us to know what God has designed us, created us for, made us for, put us on this earth for purpose of. But there's an interesting passage of Scripture that talks about the blessing of God that is in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, and let's begin reading in verse 8. I want to read the verse 8 and 9 to you. And it's an incredible passage of Scripture. It says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous. Verse 9, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. You see that? Not returning evil for evil, okay? Not exchanging reviling for reviling. In other words, it means to, but on the contrary, blessing. It means we're to be blessing one another, all right? And then it says, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. That's a powerful verse of Scripture. Sometimes we read passages in the Word of God and we don't really realize how powerful they really are. the calling of the believer as a born-again Christian. And may I preface it by saying a real Christian, all right? Everybody's a Christian today. I read an article, Gallup did a poll, and 88% of all Americans say they're Christians. Okay, all right, well, We'll let that just soak in for just a moment. And but it says, when we talk about real Christians, the real calling of a believer, which is greater than what your profession is, or greater than what we would to be an apostle, prophet, a teacher, pastor, evangelist, or even what your spiritual gift is in life, the greatest calling that you have, it's real clear here. Peter is saying, listen, the greatest call that we have as believers is to be of one mind, having compassion for one another, loving as brothers, being tender-hearted, and being courteous. In other words, he's saying it's not just a command for you to do that. It's saying this is a call. And so when we look in Scripture, we know that we're to have the fruits of the Spirit that are operating in our lives. When we read Corinthians and it talks about the gifts of the Spirit, that the gifts of the Spirit don't have an effect unless love is the foundation of that. Unless it's done in love, it doesn't matter what gifts you have. What is Peter saying here? He's saying the same thing that Paul is saying in Corinthians. He's saying it doesn't matter how much you know or what you do. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor or a preacher or a teacher. It doesn't matter what profession you have. If you don't understand the calling of being a Christian and loving one another, having compassion on one another, and being tender-hearted and courteous to one another, it doesn't matter what you say you are. If these aren't in your life, this is a call to the believer to be and to operate and to be a blessing and to bless. And then Peter said, when you do this, you are blessing others. And when you bless others, the Scripture says at the end of verse 9, it says what? You shall inherit what? A blessing. And what are these? When it talks about, what are these when it talks about that we are to the word call, there's a strong word because it's the same word that is used as in giving significant and choosing a name, like what you're called. Now, in some cultures, people name their children based upon what they prophetically believe they will become. It happens in a lot of cultures. They'll name their children based on what they want their children to become or what they want that attribute to be in their life, and it's a strong thing. That's what this means. Peter is saying, listen, this is a call. It's a call as those. These things should be in your life just as a call. Just as your name is assured in your life, so should these attributes be in your life. So should you be of one mind. So should you love one another. So should you have compassion on other people. Just as you have a name, this should be a part of your life. You see the emphasis, how important it is? Peter is putting an emphasis on this and saying, hey, this is just as important as your name. It is a call to be this. Now, why is he saying that? Because he believes that when we learn to bless, and we learn to bless by being in unity, we learn to bless by having compassion. We learn to bless by treating others as brothers, being tender-hearted and courteous. That's blessing. We are blessing. And when we learn to do that, we can operate and walk in what's called the inherited blessing. Isn't that good? Is that just me or am I not explaining it right? The truth is God wants us to walk in blessing. It is a commanded blessing. The word call is a sure thing. It's irrevocable. The call of God on our life is irrevocable. You know, when God called me to preach, everything else in my life had to stop. Because I knew that it was more than just God saying, do this. He said, this is going to be your life. Now, you can do it, or you can rebel and do what you want to do. But I'd be miserable if I didn't do what God called me to do, right? Matter of fact, I tried to kind of get out of it, and it didn't work. And so a call is a sure thing. It's non-negotiable with God, and we can walk in it and walk in that call. And so we're to be of one mind. And that means unity, but it's a deeper word than that. It means harmonious. It also means order. Order. How many know God wants order in our life? How many know blessing comes from order? You know how I know that? Because when God began creation, the Bible said the earth was without form and void. Actually, some translators say the world was in chaos. And then God what? God stepped in the middle of that chaos, and God began to say, hey, light, you go here. Darkness, you go here. Sun, you go here. Water, you go here. Land, you go here. Fish, you go here. Animals, you go here. Plants, you go here. Atmosphere, you go here. What was God doing? He was commanding. In Deuteronomy 28, that word command is the same word that is used in creation. When it says that God spoke and he said, it says. It's the same Hebrew foundational word. It's the same word. God commanded. God said. And he put order in it. He stepped in the middle of chaos and he brought order. How many know God can step in the middle of your chaos and bring order to your life? If he can give boundaries to the ocean and give boundaries to the sky and the heavens, how many know he can put boundaries in your life? Because he's God and he can do that. And so what was he doing? When he was doing that, he not only was commanding, putting in order, but he was putting in unity. Not only was he putting in unity, but what he was doing, he was making the world harmonious, perfect, right? It was in perfect harmony. And the blessing of God will always, always, the commanded blessing of God will, first of all, the first thing it will do is bring order to your life. If you want the blessing of God in your life and you want God to speak blessings in your life, he'll first come in before the blessing comes, right? Before the blessing comes, he'll come in and bring order to your life first. Then once he brings order, then blessing will come. Y'all hearing me tonight? He does it corporately. He does it as a church. Before this church can ever be a blessing, it has to have order first. Y'all ain't, I'm telling you. You say yes, but then when God starts putting order, you get all upset. Because it's not the order you want. Because you think you're the boss and you run everything. And somebody's changing the time to when you do something and you're all upset. Or they don't, we don't cater to you. And make everything surround what you want and what you like. But sometimes order is not about what you like, it's what's best for us. And the truth is, when God begins to bring order and blessing on our life, and he begins to order our lives, sometimes it's very uncomfortable when he orders our life. But if we could ever learn to let God order it and put it right, then all of a sudden we can walk in the inherited blessing of God. Why? Because there's unity. We're walking one with another. Then that's when we'll have compassion for one another. That's when we'll love our brothers. That's when we'll be able to reach out and touch a community. Why? Because there's harmony here. There's order here. And if there's order here, there's blessing here. And if there's blessing here, we can take blessing out there. All right. I'm not meddling. I'm just letting you know. You can't be tenderhearted unless there's order. You can't be courteous unless there's order. It's a consciousness. That word there, be courteous, is a consciousness of humility, is what the meaning is. And blessing is a conscious thing. You have to be conscious about blessing. It's a thing that can come into our lives. But it does not come unless we have order in our life. Unless we have order in our life. Now, it says in verse 9, the inherited blessing. What does that mean? It means receiving the spiritual blessing of God. In other words, here's how it's translated. You can receive the eternal blessing now on this earth. It's when heaven opens up and allows you to receive the eternal while you're on this earth. That's what it means. When you inherit blessing. So when you do, when you are of one mind, when you have compassion for others, when you love as brothers, when you're courteous and tenderhearted, what you've done, you've unlocked eternity. You've unlocked the heavens, and God allows the blessing of God, eternal blessing, to come on our lives, and there's an eternal inheritance that we receive by walking in the blessing of God. And so it is a command. Now, here's what I want us to see and what I want to get to tonight and finish up with. Guys, if you come back up tonight. Blessing is not just one-dimensional. We talk about blessing sometimes as it's one-dimensional. If I say, God bless me with a home, that's one-dimensional. But God is much more than just, it's one-dimensional because it's material. How many know God is much more than material? How many know God is a lot more than material? How many know blessing can come materially? Matter of fact, blessing can come materially when you obey Him spiritually. When you obey Him spiritually, you will receive materially. But just because somebody has materially doesn't mean they're blessed by God. I know a lot of people driving Bentleys that aren't going to heaven. You know what I'm saying? I know a lot of people's made a lot of money in business but ain't going to heaven. Just because you have something materially doesn't mean you're blessed. It just means that you, what it means is God showed grace on you. But real blessing comes when you don't, when you understand God not just one-dimensionally, but when you understand God more than one-dimensionally. In other words, you understand the blessing of God. Now, here's an interesting, in this chapter, the word blessing comes from an interesting word in the Greek, and it comes from the word barak, which means to eulogize. And it means to speak of or to speak well of. It's where we get the word eulogy. So when somebody dies, sometimes there's people that get up and they eulogize them. What do they say? They speak well of them. What are they doing? They're speaking well of them. So the commanded blessing of God, the blessing of God, or the inherent blessing of God, part of the blessing of God in the word here, it means to eulogize. It's to be speak well of. And I believe when we speak well of God, we can release blessing into our lives. How many of you ever been blessed by complaining? how many has ever woke up and you said, "Woo! Yesterday was such a good day. Everybody complained to me, and I was so blessed." That's not what you said. You blessed them, all right. You blessed them out, is what some of you. The truth is it means to speak out. And when we speak blessing, and when we speak blessing out as a eulogy, or when we speak out, and really it's testifying. It's the testimony of God. It's the testimony of God. Proverbs says that he that has abundance, he that knows abundance, knows or is full of the blessing of God. Or he that is abounding in God knows the blessing of God. What it talks about, the word abounding means a reservoir. In other words, a man who is obedient to God is abounding in the blessing of God. It means he has a reservoir. That reservoir is not just him. So if somebody gets up and testify, what are they doing? They're pulling out of the reservoir that God has put in their life. So they've received the blessing of what God's done. But when you speak the blessing of God, what are you doing? You're emptying the reservoir. You're speaking well of God. You're blessing. How many know testifying can be blessing? When you're testifying, you're blessing people. When you're sharing what God does, that don't ever underestimate what God does and the power of that blessing. And listen, it's against human nature to bless. Did y'all know that? Our human nature really doesn't want to bless. It's really a divine thing, like peace is and grace is. Blessing is a divine thing. Listen, when you understand blessing, God will open generosity up to you. You'll become generous. Some people aren't blessed because they've never learned to be generous with what God gives them. So if God gives you two coats, that means you got one coat too many. I mean, somebody might need a coat, right? If you got 375 pair of shoes like my wife does, You cannot wear 375 pair of shoes in a year. I'm just saying. I don't know about y'all. I'm just saying. I got five. Tripping all over my closet. And just the whole. How many know that's blessed? You got 375 pair of shoes. You're blessed. How many know you need to bless somebody if you got that many shoes? I'm preaching to her right now. She's not in here, so I can preach to her. But to eulogize. But what I want to do is I want to take a few minutes. We got just a couple of minutes before we release and have fellowship. But I want somebody to come and give a testimony tonight. I want you to share what God. Now, I don't want you to tell me the whole story. All right? Don't give me the Paul Harvey version. Just come and share just a testimony of something good that God has done. And I want us to begin to speak out the goodness of God. What we're doing is we're creating an atmosphere for the blessing of God, for the inherent blessing of God. So who would come? Somebody come and just share the goodness of God. Who wants to come and share? Come on, Pat. Come share. Hallelujah.
I just have to say this, but I don't know what I'm going to say. But I do know that I'm going to speak the word. When we started fasting this past year, you came in one morning and you gave this scripture in Micah. The breaker, the Messiah, will go up before them. They will break through, pass in through the gate, and go out through it, and their king will pass on before them, the Lord at their head. God, I thank you for your word. It's so alive. And I experienced that word a couple Sundays ago when you had just finished preaching, and I just hit the floor over there, and I was totally... I could do nothing, but you know, the Lord came, and He, the Messiah, the breaker, came through in my life.
Hallelujah.
And He broke something in my life, and I knew it was Him, and I'm so grateful. He broke through, and He's
Amen.
Bringing me out.
Amen.
Glory
Amen.
To God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Give God some praise. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Somebody else, real quickly.
Really been thinking about sharing this ever since it happened, actually. Sometimes we have negative emotions and things that happen to us that we carry all the time, and it affects our bodies and our minds and our spirits and everything, but we don't really realize that it's making us sick. And I had hurt my back, and I came up here one Thursday night, and I asked for prayer, and Pastor looked at me, and he goes, oh, he said, the Holy Spirit's showing me what's making you hurt is the spirit of disappointment. And when he spoke them words, everything in me just went, of course, it felt like a rubber band just being pulled, and I couldn't move, and I just got hot, and I started crying, and as that was happening, the Lord was just, it was just a flashback of disappointments that started from my childhood and all the way up until the year 2016, and last 2016 was a rough year. And I had said that, I had fatigue so bad and had suffered with fibromyalgia, and it affected me a lot. And you said, when you get up off of that ground, he said, your back is going to not hurt anymore, and you're not going to have fibromyalgia anymore. And I tell you, for 2 days, I was just like, I felt light as a feather, And I was like, wow. And the shock was, wow, I didn't know that deep pain and sorrow from all these years was making my body hurt.
My God.
And it still just, awes me.
Hallelujah.
And one more thing. I came up here last Sunday, and I had slipped a disc in my lower back, and I was in so much pain I couldn't hardly stand it. And when church was over, I came up and I said, "Pastor, will you pray for me?" And he said, "Yes, I will." And that slipped disc, I mean, God just healed it. It just went right back in. And when that would happen before, I've had a lot of trouble with my back in the past. I lived at the chiropractor for months and months. And so I just wanted to share that because those are things that have caused me trouble.
Isn't that wonderful? Give the Lord a clap offering. You are great. No one else great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. Hallelujah. Who else has a testimony tonight? Like to share? Come on, Sherry. Y'all see, by eulogizing God, God is just releasing. Y'all feel the presence of God? People's testimony is just releasing faith into this room. And what happens is when faith is released, then God creates an atmosphere where miracles can happen. And anything can happen. And there's a blessing that comes on our life. It's an inherent blessing. The inherent blessing of God is when we testify, it opens heaven, and that eternal blessing comes upon us. And there's something that God does when people begin to speak out and begin to share the goodness of God. Sherry?
I'd like to thank God for a loving grandmother that was a Christian and took me to church. And he never gave up on me, even when I backslid, and all the wonderful people that he's brought into my life when I needed to God. And this church, I thank him for this church and for you, Pastor, for visiting my grandson and lifting him up. And I just thank you all. You all are a blessing, and thank God for you all.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, if you're here tonight, and you had a grandmother that prayed for you, and a spiritual grandmother, I want you to stand up. I want you to stand up. You had a grandmother that had an impact in your life, a praying grandmother. You know that your grandmother's prayers had an impact on your life. Hallelujah. All right, now here's what's happening. That anointing that was on her is on you now. Now you are going to start praying for your grandchildren and for the people in your life, and that anointing is going to transfer to you. Now lift your hands. Father, I pray an anointing to pray for their grandchildren. I pray an anointing to pray for people in their life. As they are grandparents, I pray they'll have the anointing of God that'll touch their children and their grandchildren. I pray, God, that there be an intercession that comes on them. And that anointing that was on their grandmother will be greater on them than it was on their grandmother. And we just pray now, God, every prayer would come forth. We pray that every prayer in heaven would be a net to catch them when they fall. Every prayer would be like a safety net, that God, you won't let their foot slip into destruction. You won't let them fall, God, but you'll be there to pick them up, and you'll be there to rescue them when they struggle. And we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for every grandmother that's in this room. We pray the anointing to pray. We pray the anointing to cover their grandchildren and to cover their children. I pray that anointing now in the name of Jesus. May that anointing come on and let the word of God be their strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. You are great.
Miracles so great.
just like you. There is no one else. There is no one else like you. Hallelujah. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me. I'm not saying that all the rest of you grandmothers don't have an anointing. That's not what I'm saying. Please don't misinterpret that. I believe every grandmother has an anointing. I'm just recognizing the fact that God had uses families and He transfers the blessing of God and the anointing through families. I wish my grandmother was here. My grandmother never heard me preach. She never saw me walk the aisle to get saved. But she prayed for me every day of my life. And she's the reason why I'm doing what I do. I really believe that she called on God and God heard her prayer. But she knows it in heaven. I believe that. And I believe she'll be one of the first people that meet me when I cross over and leave this world into that world. I believe she'll be one of the first ones to greet me. And I know she's rejoicing over the answered prayer of life. Amen. Somebody else. Who else has a testimony tonight? Just a quick testimony.
I may start crying. So all these years I've prayed for my children to come to Christ. Not believing. But I prayed not believing. October 2nd. My son text said I got saved tonight. So I'd go there and visit because I'm very active with my grandkids. And I seen the change. I was like, God, forgive me for not trusting. God, forgive me for being that Sunday Christian and sinning when I walked out those doors. Because of my son, 6 months later, on April 2nd, he came up here and he got baptized. So I praise God. Amen. For that. And I thank him ahead of time because he's going to grab my little girl. He's going to grab my daughter and he's going to bring her to him too.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somebody else. Come on, folks. Somebody else. Hallelujah.
Pastor, I just want to thank the church for praying for myself and my wife. Over the last, since August of last year, my wife has lost 3 toes, and that didn't seem to work. So in January, they took half her foot off, and we just saw our doctor in Columbus today, and he can't believe it's been that long and it's not healed yet. We, you know, people walk up to you, well, does she have diabetes? No. Well, what does she have? Well, she doesn't have any circulation going to her feet. Do we know the end result? No. But God does. God does. And you guys know because you've been praying for us. You know God's the answer. I know God's the answer. If you'd asked me in August to do this battle, I probably would have said, no, I don't want it. But you know, one day at a time. I made hundreds of trips to Louisville. Every Monday we go. They look at it. They clean it up. We come home. You know, but God is the answer.
Yes, He is.
And I thank the church for praying for us.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, in closing, I want to pray over you, and I want to read Deuteronomy 28, and we're going to stand, and I'm going to read that to you. Matter of fact, let's just go ahead and stand, and we're going to dismiss in a second, but we'll do something. Ryan, why don't you come here for a second? How many know Ryan? How many appreciate Ryan? Don't y'all love him? And I love this guy. I love what God's doing. I love what God's doing in all of our young men in this church. God's raising up some young preachers, and I just appreciate their gifts. And, you know, Ryan was traveling up to the hospital, tell his grandfather that God had called him to preach. And he got up there, and they were working on him and doing stuff and all those kind of things. And he didn't get a chance to talk to him, so he went home, and he was going to come back. But while he was gone and on his way back up, his grandfather passed away. And he never got to tell Bud that God was calling him to preach. And so at his funeral, he got up and announced the fact that God was calling him to preach at his grandfather's funeral, who would have been so proud to have heard that great news. But I guarantee you, heaven heard it, and I believe it was announced in heaven, and I believe he knows. And I'm so proud of Ryan. Ryan is he owns his own business, and God's been using him. And here's the amazing thing. He's been going to seminary since the first part of the year. He's been going to Liberty University online, and he's been studying every night. He's been diligent to take his test and to study hard. But in September, he's going to be leaving us. He's getting on a plane, and he's going over to Great Britain, and he's going to ministry school in Hull, England, and he's going to be there 12 weeks studying, sharing with Jesus. And he's putting his life on hold. And look, you know, it may not be what God ultimately has for him, but it's a step to finding the will of God for his life. And God's going to use it. And he's going to go to a country with the people he don't know, and he's going to learn to like shepherd pie, which is a lot of potatoes, a lot of bread, and a lot of peas. And they got really good pudding over there. I want to tell you, I know. And the fish and chips aren't bad either. But he's going to step out in faith. He's going to leave his business behind. Did you sell your house? Not yet. He's selling his house. Listen, folks, that's faith. To sell everything you got and say, God, I want to go and do what you called me to do. How many think he's serious about the call of God on his life? He's going to lay it all down and go do what God calls him to do. And I think we need to pray for him. I think we need to support him. And I think we need to love on him and make sure that he has everything he needs and that he knows there's a church here praying for him. He may get over there and be the next Wesley. You know what I mean? I mean, he may go through England and revival break out, using American just like they've used Englishmen here. But he's going to go and be with Andrew Murray, and he's going to be with Jared Cooper. Jared Cooper is one of the great pastors in all of Great Britain. And I'm just so proud of him. Would you just reach your hands out to him? You know, the devil's tried to fight him, tried to fight his health, tried to fight him financially. The devil's tried to come against him mentally. The devil's tried to try to talk him out of doing the will of God, and he's wavered and here and there, and at times I know he's felt like I even felt, what in the world am I doing? How did I get into this? But let's pray the blessing of God. Now, I want you to speak the blessing of God. Speak it. I want you to speak it. I don't want you to whisper it. I want you to speak it over him. Just begin to pray for him. Father, we thank you for Ryan. Lord, I thank you that you brought him to this church. I thank you he's my brother in Christ. I thank you that he's a son of this house. I thank God that he's attached to us just as much as anyone that's ever come through here. And I pray, God, you'll meet every need. I pray that the fire of the Holy Ghost will get on him and that he'll set Great Britain on fire. I pray an anointing will come on him while he's gone. I pray a hunger for your word and a hunger to do the will of God. I pray, God, that, Lord, you'll send him a wife and you'll send him blessings in his life. I pray, God, that goodness and mercy will follow him. I speak blessing over Ryan. I pray nothing missing, nothing lacking in his life. His enemy shall come in one way and flee six ways. I pray his storehouse will be full. I pray the commanded blessing of God will be upon him, and the land that God that you give him will be his, and that, Lord, wherever his foot trots, he will prosper. He will be in good health. And God, wherever he goes, he will bless. He'll be blessed going in. He'll be blessed coming out. He'll be blessed with those who are around him and those that touch him. And everyone that connects to him, that sows into his life, there'll be a blessing that comes on them for being attracted to Ryan. We thank you, Lord, for the anointing of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And all of God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a great big clap ball for him. Hallelujah.